They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
They're watching.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Whether we like it or not, our employers are keeping an eye on what we do at work, who we email, the websites we visit, even where we go. Today in Washington, some privacy rights groups are pushing for new ground rules. Jeremy Hobson reports.
According to the American Management Association, 3/4 of employers monitor their employees' web surfing. A majority looks at their workers' email messages, and some even use GPS technology to track employees who carry company BlackBerries or phones.
What may have been science fiction 10 years ago is now reality.
That's Lily Coney with the Electronic Privacy Information Center. She says it's not so much what employers know, it's that employees aren't aware of what their employers know. Take background checks, which can lead to firings.
Errors in records are very common, and without a requirement that you as the subject of a report have notice that this report says X about you, you don't have an opportunity to correct incorrect information.
Even those who argue employers should monitor workers say companies ought to be transparent about it. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Let's check in on the stock markets. European stocks are off to a rip-roaring start. They're up about 1%, but in Asia, the markets finished lower, dropping more than 0.5%. The Dow fell 10 points yesterday to 13,476. The Nasdaq was down 8 to 2,539. The S&P 500 lost a point to 1,512. We have a great little story about just how jacked up the housing market in Britain is. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, is here. Okay, Stephen, tell us what happened.
A newspaper in Birmingham reprinted a 25-year-old copy of their newspaper to commemorate the 25th anniversary of a famous victory by their local soccer team, Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. Now, in this 25-year-old newspaper, there was an old ad for a very nice four-bedroom property selling for £53,000. That's about $100,000. Well, dozens of readers spotted the ad and were so carried away by the low price that they inundated the property with phone calls. The phone number listed was the same as for the property today. What had changed, of course, was the price.
Well, how much was it?
At least 10 times more.
Jeez.
The lady who owns the property said she has no intention of selling the home. And certainly not for £53,000.
You know, it just gives you an indication of how fevered they yes. are in this country over property.
That's what strikes me about it, is it just smacks of desperation.
Absolute desperation, yes. Unlike the US, the housing market in the UK has not turned down. It goes ever upwards and onwards. And people really are desperate, particularly young people, to get their first foot on the rung of the so-called property ladder.
Mm. All right, Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. And the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Today in Malibu, California, day 5 of a hearing for Floyd Landis. Landis is the American who won the Tour de France last year, but he tested positive for doping and could be stripped of his title and suspended for 2 years. Our Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad says the sport of cycling is truly in crisis.
You know, people have used the word crisis about baseball because of the Bonds issue, you know, maybe breaking Aaron's record, you know, and being tainted with doping. But it's a blip on the radar screen, the issue of doping in baseball compared to cycling. This is truly a crisis. I mean, the whole sport is crumbling.
Specifically, where is the fallout?
Well, look at the Tour de France. I mean, you know, it's not just, you know, one of the biggest events in Europe, you know, for the summer. It's become, because of Lance Armstrong, really, it's become one of the biggest events in the world. And now they're less than 2 months away and their major sponsors are nowhere. I mean, Crédit Lyonnais, which is the big French bank chain, it's always been part of the Tour de France. They're not sure. Their boardrooms are still filled with this discussion. Landis is on trial right now. Two other stars who were supposed to inherit the Tour de France after Armstrong retired, which is Jan Ullrich from Germany and Ivan Basso from Italy, both charged with doping now, not allowed to ride last year, can't ride this year.
Wow.
100 riders out of the 600, there are allegations and blood samples and evidently pretty good evidence that they've all been doping. I mean, it's not just a couple.
I mean, it sounds like the entire sport, maybe I'm exaggerating here, but is based on this, idea of, you know, one-upping through doping.
You know, years ago, right after the 1999 tour, I got a chance to interview two guys, French writers, and they would only give the interview under anonymity. But they said, look, you know, the way we look at it is there are a bunch of guys in navy blue suits in some boardroom somewhere who make up the rules of sport. Well, they don't know what we're doing. We're in the age of chemical manipulation. You go out and get your juice and your coffee every day, and you get a little boost of immunity added in, or you want to help your sex life or your memory. You can do anything you want with your body. So why can't we? Taking these drugs doesn't make us a different athlete. It just raises our potential to 100%. And that's the way they've twisted it in their minds.
But their sport is falling apart because of it. So there's got to be a turnaround here if they want to keep cycling and making the kind of money that they've been making.
Well, you know what is going to turn it around is the science. I mean, look at this Floyd Landis case. What we're going to hear for the next, 10 days or so is science. It's just, you know, all of the blood chemistry is coming out. I think that the testing is going to become so vigilant. They are really hell-bent on cleaning this thing up. And I think it's going to be a few years till we rebuild and find some new heroes that we can trust in and love the beauty of the sport again.
All right, Diana, thanks.
Scott, you're welcome.
Our Business of Sports commentator, Diana Nyad. If you want to share your thoughts with us or download our podcast, check out our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.